Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise you the Lord. Yes, you are now once again tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time from Hopper Woods, Michigan. Well, on tonight we have none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. He will be sharing with us another inspirational poem, and he's going to deliver God's word on tonight. So I pray that you, the listeners, those of you that are faithful listeners, and you already know I'm going to ask you to please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready. And also for the new listeners that are dialing in for the first time on tonight, please get your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to write down notes. And as we go through God's word lets us know my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So we don't want anyone to ever take it lightly or ever think for one moment that we're making up things as we go. We want you to be able to read it for yourself, what thus said the Lord to his people. We always open up with prayer. I'm asking our listeners if you would please pray with me on tonight. You know, we had CNN News. I don't know if you heard the news tonight. On tonight, another mass shooting just occurred. On today, over 8 people got killed. Then they had another mass shooting, and I think it was a basketball game on yesterday. Then I hear that downtown in Greektown in Detroit, Michigan, downtown, there was a big fight downtown on last night. So we know that the enemy is on his job. He's doing what he do. He's coming to steal, kill, and destroy, and seeking whom he may devour. But we, the faithful God's children, the faithful ones, we are to fervently pray. So that's what we're going to do on tonight. I'm asking all listeners, pray for all of those that have been affected by the different mass shootings, that those that have lost loved ones, and those that have been injured. We're going to continue to lift them up in prayer, that God will continue to heal and strengthen his people, even as we see these wars and rumors of wars that are going on even in America. Every day is something different. And so we're just going to kind of approach God's throne, knowing that he is a promise keeper. Heavenly Father, it is in the name of Jesus, we your children, coming together on one accord, realizing and knowing that you are God alone. You still sit high and you look low. You still have and hold all power in heaven and in earth is in your hands. We know, Heavenly Father, that you are in total control, and we know that sometimes you allow certain things to happen to get our attention. We're not saying that you allow this to happen, but we know that you are still in control at all times. So we lift up all those, Heavenly Father, that have been afflicted by these mass shootings, those who have lost loved ones. Heavenly Father, comfort them and strengthen them in the name of Jesus. But before we go any further, we're going to ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Deacon Marvin Cox and his entire family, and all those that are saved believers that are faithfully being doers of your word and not just hearers only. We pray, Lord, and ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain. We know that you are God and you are God alone and you're worthy of our praise. So now we ask that you will continue to comfort and strengthen all those families that, again, have been affected by the different mass shootings in the different cities and states all over the United States. And we continue to lift up the people and the president of Ukraine. as they are still dealing with this unprovoked war by the Russian Putin. So we ask that you will continue to comfort them and strengthen them, Heavenly Father, and let them be able to continue to look to the hills from which cometh their help. Not only them, but let us all remember that all of our help comes from you. So now, Lord, we ask that you will move by your Spirit on tonight as your word goes forth, that it will go forth with power to the saving of souls. And anyone that's listening in on tonight that's not saved in Jesus' name, is our prayer, hope, and desire that your word will go forth with power, as it always does, that those that are not saved in Jesus' name will be able to hear your word on tonight through your man of God, Deacon Marvin Cox, and they will hear your word and receive it. They will also open their own mouth to confess their sins and transgressions and ask your son, Jesus, the Christ, to come into their hearts and save them, is our prayer, hope, and desire in the name of Jesus. Continue to bless every faithful listener that faithfully dials into this worldwide ministry and platform, even those that are dialing in for the first time, those that are listening in through social media platforms all around the world for the first time. Bless them all and grant them the desires that of their hearts that would give you glory, honor, and praise, is our prayer in Jesus' name. So help us now, Lord, to decrease so that you may increase in us individually and then as a corporate body of believers. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, on tonight, we do have another spiritual food for thought, and it comes to a saying, and this is for every faithful doer of God's word, not just hearers only. The spiritual food for thought comes to a saying on tonight: don't be so heaven-bound, but of no earthly good. Wow. Now, that's powerful. Something to think about. That's something for each one of us to consider. Again, tonight's scripture food for thought, because believe it or not, we do have some people in the body of Christ. They are so heavenly bound, but they are of no earthly good. They're not being a blessing to no one. It's all about me, myself, and I. So God don't want us to be like that. So we want to make sure that we are being of earthly good, but God is getting the glory out of our lives. And then as we continue to be faithful doers of his word, then we know that when we have accepted Jesus Christ, we will be heaven bound. So that's what the spiritual food thought is for something for all of us to consider on tonight. I ask all listeners, please remember that I welcome all comments and feedback from every listener. You can always email me at all lowercase, James_Brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Please make note that I do not own the copyrights to any music or songs played on this worldwide ministry platform. Again, I do not own any copyrights to any music played on this worldwide ministry platform. As we get ready to go receive Deacon Marvin Cox, we're going to go to our music break first. I am so grateful that Jesus Christ thought enough of you and me that he came down from glory and gave up his own life. He paid our sin debt on the cross, that we would have a chance to be saved in his name and be redeemed back to our Heavenly Father and our Creator. So that's why I'm playing on tonight for our music break song, Worth Living. Enjoy.
You cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for.
Yes, praise the Lord on tonight. Yes, I'm so grateful to Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior, and soon coming King, Lord of all lives, your life and my life, that it was worth living, and he gave up his own life to pay our sin debt, with a debt that he did not owe, but he knew it was a debt that we could not pay. So I am grateful that he paid the price for us to be redeemed. After Deacon Marvin Cox finished with the word on tonight, we're going to open up the phone lines. Again, on tonight, after he have concluded with the message on tonight, I will be opening up the phone lines for anyone that may have a question for him pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you will have an opportunity to do so after he have delivered the word of God on tonight. So we are ready to receive none other than Deacon Marvin Cox. I now yield the mic to you to share your point with us, and then also I want the listeners to know also that this is part two of his message that he have done before. So this is part two. So he may review a part of what he have done with this message before he go into the conclusion of tonight's message, but I want you all to know this is part two. So Deacon Marvin Cox, I now yield the mic to you.
Amen. I thank you, Brother Brown, truly an honor and a privilege and a pleasure to bring forth God's word. The Lord has in store for us some good food for us to consume. I'm going to start off with a poem, and I know what, and that question, why God? My talents, is that what he saw long ago? My talents, I see that the answer is no. My looks, just a mirror that fails the thought. That's why he told me to knock. My wisdom, not even a trace do I see. Then why, tell me why, did my Savior call me? And just like the wind, as it glides through the sky, a voice off the end, yes, I'll tell you why. Because when I look, you were nothing to see. And when I shine through nothing, then men will see me. I call men a weakness so I can be strong. I even call it downcast, and I give them a song. I call out of nothing so when something appears, men give me glory, and down through the years, it has been so, though the world is appalled, not many noble nor wise have been called. The poor man, the weak man, though often despised, come alive at God's touch, and the world is surprised. The dregs of the earth become princes and kings when God's son gives them birth. And in spite of their past or how they were raised, God gives them life, and the world is amazed. Your credentials for heaven, I'll give you a clue. They're only that God has found favor in you. In spite of your weakness, your failures, your health, in spite of your lack of applause, your praise or your wealth, he called, he equipped, and he sent from above and made you his chosen, and he bathed you in love. But only that God in that infinite, in his infinite power, gave us himself in that marvelous hour. When we said yes to his gift of grace, and Jesus said yes as he took our place. What a trophy we are, what a victory indeed, but not for our value, but rather our need. Then let's yield all we are, all we have, all we own, relinquish our pride, and come down from our throne. And turning to Jesus, let's worship and praise, that he will be Lord all the rest of our days. My talents, my wisdom, no, dear God, now I see. It was grace and grace only that you should choose me. Amen. I'm going to immediately go into the ninth lesson, and I'll be reading to you from Luke, 20th chapter, the 20th chapter, Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 16. And it reads, "For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, Why stand ye here all the day idle? They said to him, Because no man hath hired us. He said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when evening was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto the steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour. They received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Does not thou agree with me for a penny? Take thou thine ears and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Thine eye evil because I am good. So the last shall be first and the first last, for many be called, but few are chosen. I've just read unto you from the book of St. Matthew, Gospel recorded by St. Matthew, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 17. And may the Lord add the blessing, the reading, the hearing, the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. And as Brother Brown was saying, this is part 2, and the message for tonight is, you don't need no resume to work for Jesus. I'm going to say that again. You don't need no resume to work for Jesus. And this is about parable about when the husbandman went out. Oh, I just read it to you from, let us say, the book of Matthew, 20th chapter, verses 1 through 16. May the Lord have the blessing in the reading of his word and his will, and may it edify our souls forever. As I gave you the topic for tonight is, you don't need a resume to serve God. And the reason he gave me this topic is because if you look around you right now, even though times are tough, every place you go, you see a for hire sign. You see it everywhere. And even now, unemployment is at an all-time low. I think they said like 3.9 vineyard. The householder, he went out. Why? Because he needed workers in his vineyard. He needed someone to make sure that the running, I'm going to say, of the church ran smooth. And we must take in mind that he went out 5 times during that particular day to gather up people that would come into the vineyard and work. And as we go along this journey, I'm going to give you a stop at each time that he went out and the numerical significance of the time that he went out and when he went out and how he went out. Now, verse number 1 of the 20th chapter, it says, For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning. So we know due to biblical times, early in the morning was approximately between 6 and 7 o'clock. We also know that when he went out, one represents something. One represents T. One is the only number that is divisible by itself, independent of any other number. But he went out early in the morning, needs to say, to recruit people to work in his vineyard. And in the process of him going out, there were a few. Now we're going to call these willing workers. We're going to call these people that were ready to work. He wouldn't know exactly where to go. And so he agreed with them in verse number 2 for a penny a day. See, they had a little negotiation going on here where they say, okay, I need you to go into my vineyard, but, you know, it's something else to work without filling out your W-2 form, without knowing what type of taxes they're going to take out, you know. So he agreed with them for a penny, and we might look at it nowadays and say a penny, that was not much, but see, a penny during those times was equivalent to a Roman's soldier's pay for that one day, which if you was to upgrade that today, that would be over $100-something for that particular day. It was enough to sustain them for a little while. Say, when he agreed with them, he sent them into his vineyard. See, that's what I like about the Lord. He lets you know up front what to expect. There's no surprises there. And so they went. So he sent them into his vineyard. And we're going to move right along to verse number 3. And he went out. And if you notice, he didn't ask them for no resume. And the reason he didn't ask for no resume, because the Creator knows about each and every last one of us. You don't need no resume. He knows about the jiving and conniving and so forth and on. He knows about that, because if you think about a resume, what we normally do to impress our employer, we say and we tell them about all the attributes. You know, we tell them about the assets. You know, we'd say, well, hey, when I was 12 years old, I helped an old lady across the street. But then we leave out the part that after we walked across the street, we snatched her purse. We ran off with her money. So, but see, the Lord knows about all of those things that we've done. And so he's willing to give us that chance, take that chance on us. He'd say, you know, you come in there and I will give you the increase. So he gave me a chance. He gave you a chance. He gave all of us an opportunity, even though we may have omitted something off of that resume, that application that we put out there in the world. But see, God knows about all of that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And so moving right along, they went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And see, one thing I want to straighten out is that because they were idle does not mean that they were lazy. A lot of times we get so adjusted to doing things and we just loitering. We just, you know, people have their little place to go and they hang out. Nowadays, our young men and some of the young women are hanging out at, I call it the watering hole. They hang out at the gas station. And we know that the watering hole is the most dangerous place in the jungle. So moving along, okay, so as I said, that number one, it represents a lot. It represents unity. It represents God. It represents him being God all by himself. So he went out that first hour. And then he went out again. You know that number 3 represents completeness. But see, it could have been finished right there. But see, it was complete, but it was not finished. You know how you start a project and you work on that project, and in the process of you
completing that project, there's still some other things that you want to do. You know, you may say, I'm going to purchase a home, but once you purchase that home, the deal on the house complete, but you still want to paint the walls and change it around a little bit so that it would be and that it would fit your personality. So we know that three is a holy number. Three, there were three wise men. We know that, as I was saying, we know that three applies quite a few times in the Bible. As a matter of fact, it appears 467 times in the Bible. But see, how many times it appears is not essential to our salvation. And he said unto them in the fourth verse, go ye also in the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. And see, I want you to pay attention to how this was worded. They went their way. Does not necessarily, see, that's one of the mysteries of the Bible. It does not necessarily say that they went directly into the vineyard. So I'm just imagining that some of them went in and some of them went their way. Hey, you know, you can't pay me enough to do this, how a lot of people do. So they went their way. But he instructed them to go into the vineyard. All right? And again, he went out about the sixth hour. And the ninth hour did likewise. See, he's determined to get these vineyard workers so that they could produce whatever it was that needed to be produced. But when you think about a vineyard, you think about grapes, you think about some type of fruit that needs to be pressed or some type of fruit that needs to be processed. So he went out, as I say, the sixth and the ninth hour. The sixth hour was 12, which 12 represents a perfect number. And those that he hired, he did not ask them for a resume. He said, go into my vineyard. I need workers. And this is how it is in some of our churches. People come in there to work, and it's all types of people that come into the vineyard. Now, the titles and the assignments that God gives them might be different from your assignment, but he promised each and every last one of us that he would give us a penny, a shekel, a denarius, a diblium, you know, a gappa, a peso, whatever it was, he said that he would give, and he said that he would give every man a penny for what he was doing. So right now, as I was saying, since somebody know all about you, the good as well as the bad, Brother Brown, he talks about us here too, because see, we ain't always Pastor King. We ain't always had this particular mentality. Sister Walker, we ain't always had this mentality that we have now. It was a time that, you know, we needed our heads to be combed. Mm-hmm. He said, you don't need no resume to come into vineyard and work. Just come on in here and work. So whoever it is that is up under the sound of my weak voice, this is very, very significant. Because as we move right along in tonight's lesson, we'll find out that those that he hired, some of those at the end of the day, which we go working our way up into the 11th hour. And about the 11th hour, and see, we know that we got to be careful because, okay, let me tell you what the fifth hour, the fifth time he went out, and this was doing, okay, this was right around the 11th hour, would be considered as like about 5 o'clock in the evening. Now, let me tell you about the number five. The number five, it symbolizes God's grace, his goodness, and it signifies all of these things that in his favor towards humans. So God, even those that were not in the vineyard working. He gave us, and see, we know that number 5 and number 11 represents chaos. If you know about the union representatives, they said we into the 11th hour, and normally you only got just a little bit of time just to get whatever it is that you need done. We know that the 5 virgins who were very, very foolish, we know that they went out about the 11th hour. They asked the other virgins, they say, give us some of your oil so that we could go in here and meet the bridegroom. But at that particular time, they told them, no, not so. We just got enough for ourselves. They say, okay, but I tell you what, it's a 24-hour Walmart just down the road. But by them not being prepared, then they missed out. So we know that the 11th hour of anything, it represents a whole lot of chaos. It represents missed opportunities. It represents procrastination. So in the process of this 11th hour he going out, I'm going to tell you something about those 11th hour workers. See, there's a lot of us who didn't come into the Lord until we were well advanced in our age, that we did what we did and partied like we partied. But then at 11th hour, and so let me tell you what he said to them. And this is like in the 6th and the 7th verse. And see, I got a lot of respect for those 11th hour workers, because he said, and about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and said unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? I want you to listen to their response. They said to him, because no man hath hired us. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. So these people were humble enough that they felt that they were not even worthy to go into the vineyard and work. But as I say, you don't need no resume. He knows all about you. One might say, you know, I got an alcohol problem. Another might say, I have a gambling problem. And look at some of his disciples. Look at Matthew. Matthew was a publican. He was a tax collector. Matthew may have told him, he said, Matthew, come on in here. Matthew may have said, Lord, I'm not worthy. You know, I repossessed somebody's farm and repossessed their cattle and their sheep. I'm not worthy. So, as I say, with this humbleness that these 11th hour workers showed, then you could appreciate people who, you know, the alcoholic. I had some members of my family who, you know, I had one uncle that every time he get intoxicated, he wanted to preach. But I had another uncle that said, look, I've been drinking. I don't want to play with the Lord like that. And you probably have seen a whole lot of people that is like that. You know, when they in the meridian height of their mischief, they say, look, I don't play with the Lord like that. But he told them, hey, come on in here. Anyway, I know about your bad habits. I know that you have not been right. I know that you're cheating and you're stealing and doing all this. But see, that represents that second chance. Represents us, that new beginning. He said, you don't need no resume. You don't have to hide anything from me that knows all about you, that made you know all about you. You don't need no resume. So when the evening would come, okay, we're getting close to payday now, because they done went in there and they done did what they're supposed to do. Now it's payday. So when evening would come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, okay, we're going to say the foreman, the preacher, or whoever was in charge at that time, it says steward, say, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last to the first. And when they came that were hired, about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. See, God is good, true to his word. God is very true to his word. But then again, it says, well, when the first came, now, this is something that's very important. They supposed Watch out, you people that's been in the house of prayer for a long time. You suppose that you get more than somebody that's just not coming in, but the Lord agreed with you. And this is how our society is. They want to get one more penny than the next man. Then they feel like they get no. But see, even before the ink on the contract is dry and they find out that somebody on the other side of town is making more than them, see, the words and agreement don't mean anything anymore. Why? Because they're supposed to. This is how they felt. Well, Lord, I'd have been here all day long. And so, and this is what they said. And so this is very important. And verse number 11 said, when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house. So my brothers and my sisters, this is something that can apply to each and every last one of us. You've got to be careful of your coworkers.
Oh, yeah.
Because, see, it was the co-workers in the vineyard. See, they were mumbling and murmuring against a good man, but guess what? They murmuring against you also. They feel that when you come in and that preacher welcomes you in, that he's showing you preferential treatment. And sometimes you can feel the coldness that comes from them that's been in the vineyard working for a long time, but then here go a brother that's on fire for the Lord, and then he comes into the vineyard and they say, oh, he's trying to, you know, what they're saying is, he's doing too much.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing too much. So, but the Lord, he said, and when they received it, you know how we do, but I'm here to tell you tonight that seniority has no privileges. And this is a good thing. Why? Because it gives those latecomers, those 11th hour Christians that come in, it lets them know that our reward is no greater than their reward. Because if they would get
right.
a partial payment, if they were to get a partial payment for that which the Lord promised them, somebody said, no, it's too late in the day. I'm not going there. It's not worth my time. But see, he left a provision there for us. He said that give everybody what I promised them. And so verse number 12, it says, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us. Wait a minute now. I thought God's word said that he had no respect of person.
That's
but
right.
Then, this superiority complex that long-term Christians get when new people come into the house of prayer. They feel that I'm privileged, or I know that y'all probably done seen it one time or another, that a person eager to come to the church, you know, and they sit up front, and then Mother Maybell come in there and instruct them, hey, you're sitting in my seat. You know, I sit in that seat all the time. So in other words, if you sit in my seat, that means that you got to move to the back. You got to move from your vantage point. You want to be closer to the Lord as you possibly can be, but wait a minute now. You sitting in my seat. So you don't need no resume, because the Lord has brought all types of people into the vineyard, all types of people in there to work, all types of people to do his bidding. Now, listen to the conversation that the Lord had. Now, and they say, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. Let me translate that to you. Lord, we've been here all day long. Now, that ain't even right. You're going to give them the same thing that you give us. And this is how it is in society. They have, you know, for new people coming in, they have what is known as a two-tiered wage system, where the seniority employees is getting a certain amount, and people that come in is getting a certain amount, is getting much lesser. But Lord is saying he's going to give everybody. We all got the same reward coming when it comes down to the Lord. And I hope that it is that eternal life that he has promised each and every last one of us. But see, as I said, you got to watch out for your congregants. Got to watch out for your co-workers, because they will look at you. And the Lord told us earlier in the verses, he said, whatever is right, I'll pay. So you can tell them, hey, neighbor, don't you worry about my paycheck. I'm going to get everything I got coming because God's word say so. So if I'm a worker of iniquity, see, then I'm going to receive an iniquity pay. I'm going to receive that which God, you know, he's going to tell me, hey, you worked, you know, but go on and get out of my face because you worked iniquity. I never knew you. So
oh my Lord.
We got to take in mind, but he answered one of them, okay, and this is how fair that one that did not ask the resume for a resume, this is how fair he is. But he answered one of them and said, he addressed them as friends. Say, friends, I do thee no wrong. Does not we agree with me for a penny? Wait a minute, you going against your word. We agreed. We had that agreement. We got that on contract. You said, but now because he didn't come in until later on, you think you deserve to get more than him. So we got to be careful. But like I said, you don't need no resume. And so they thought and they felt that they should have received more. But then he's telling me, say, take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto thee this last, even as unto thee. So God is not going to go back on his agreement for nobody.
That's right.
So whatever it is that he promised you, just be glad that he kept his promise. Because how many people have promised you something, and then when it was time for payday, you know, you borrowed, somebody borrowed something from you, and they, well, I'm going to give it back to you on Friday. And all of a sudden Friday, they had to take the dog to the vet. You know, I get your things Friday. But they went back on their word. So God did not go back on his word. He said, I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with my own? Uh-oh. Sound like the husbandman is getting, not getting an attitude, but kind of like getting firm there.
Mm-hmm.
I can do what I want with mine, and I promised y'all this. But see, if we look at sports, we looked at our corporate things and what they want. They want profit sharing. You know, they already getting a good salary, but you know, we want part of the profit because you making money off of us and so forth and on. But they say, I can do what I want with mine. Is thine eye evil? Because I am good. Because see, the generosity of the Lord, it extends all the way out. It don't stop. And so, as I was saying, he said that they're going to get what I promised them because I needed some workers and my house was not full. I wanted to make sure that there was meat in my house. And these also were the ones that helped me to do what it was that I needed to do. So we're going to move right along. So he said, so the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, a few are chosen. But see, if we look at this right here, we know that during the 5 hours, it really was a whole day from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, that he was recruiting the vineyard workers. And so at that time, he called many into the vineyard. And see, that's one verse that we get confused frequently. You know, you could get 10 different definitions of what that means, but the Lord is just telling us that he had called many into the vineyard, and we all have seen many people come and many people go. But
Lord,
few are chosen. And see, his chosen elect are the ones that he knows is going to do what it is that he asked them to do. You know, those are the ones, those faithful members.
That's it.
Because it's certain people, they come, you know, and, you know, it's just like when you, medicine in your cabinet, it said on that medicine, take it until it's gone, especially like if it's an antibiotic. Don't say take it till you start feeling better, because it's got to work its way through your system. But it's those
That's
dependable
right.
people, those people that he know won't vary from the things that he need them to do. So he's saying that, okay, everybody has a chance. I'm going to just give you a few examples of what's going on here. Now, the woman at the well, she didn't need no resume. But when he told her about that living water, when he told her what that living water would do for her then, and that a lady that was caught in adultery, he told her, he said, go and sin no more. And these people became ambassadors for God. Even old Paul, I can't leave him. I said, Paul, you don't need no resume. Because we know that Paul was one of the chief persecutors of the church. Old Peter, who used to live on the east side of Detroit, who will either do two things to you, that either cut you or cuss you out.
Without
he said, come on, Peter. You know, he said, Peter, you don't need no resume. I know you got a hot temper. He even told Peter, you know, demon desire to sift you like wheat. Okay, we know that old Jonah said, Jonah, I need you to work for me. But Jonah went in the opposite direction. But he said, you don't need no resume, because at the end, I know you're going to do what it is that I asked you to do. So you don't need no resume to work for the Lord. You don't need no resume to do what it is that he needs you to do. Why? Because he already knows you. He already knows your heart. And most of the matriarchs and the patriarchs in the Bible, it was nobody, only one, that was perfect. And that was Job. He said he was perfect and upright. But everybody else had a flaw, had something
That's
that
right.
could keep them from doing what it is that the Lord wanted them to do. But I'm telling the listeners tonight, no matter what your situation is, whether it's opioids, whether, you know, you don't have peace of mind, whether you're abusive to your family, whatever, you know, you can't keep your hands off of somebody's wife, or whatever the situation might be, you don't need no resume. God says, come on into his vineyard and work.
Mm-hmm.
And when he
yeah.
says work, we're going to take it to that next level. He wants you to come in there and work out your soul salvation.
Yes,
it's going to be for a great benefit for you. So if I was you, I would take heed to what the deacon is saying. You don't need no resume, but those ones that came in the 11th hour that he asked, he said, why are you standing idle by? See, they told the truth to themselves, because no man has hired us. And it's possible, like a lot of people, a lot of times, the reason why we don't want to go into the house of prayer, and that's because we're ashamed. We're ashamed that we... you know, that our sins is going to stand out. We're ashamed that somebody going to say, oh, yeah, that's that one that's always fussing and cussing at his kids. But God said, come on in there. Come on in here and work. You don't need no resume. We can work on your problem when you get here. So come to me, all those that are heavy, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. So a lot of times we may be shamed. We might be ashamed. But don't worry about that. Move that pride to the side and go on in that vineyard and work. Do what it is that the Lord will help you to do. Because I know when it came, you know, I was just like Jonah. When the Lord called me, hey, it took me like from 1965 to 1987, but the Lord, he spared my life long enough to come back into his vineyard. I had on a pair of roller skates on with a motor on it, so you know I was running. So we got to be extra careful because this invitation is getting late in the day. It's time for us to take this into consideration. Time for us to put that pride aside and say that the only one that could get me off of this opioid, the only one that could straighten me out, only one that could tell me and teach me and show me how to treat my family, how to treat my fellow man, how to do unto others as I do, as I would have them to do unto me. All of this we'll find out, because when I went into the vineyard, I thought I was going to lose myself. Two things scared the devil out of me, and that was joining the church and getting married. And I thought at that time that I would lose myself. But those are the two things that helped me to find myself. Why? Because I didn't need no revenue. Because, see, we use these things as an excuse not to go into the vineyard, not to submit ourselves to the righteousness of God. But as I say, we got to watch out for those coworkers, because they're going to grumble. The minister ain't like the preacher is favoritizing you. That's when you're going to have all types of difficulties. So once again, to God's listeners, not my listeners, you don't need no resume to work for Jesus. Amen. I'm now turning you back over into the hands of Brother Brown.
Amen. Praise the Lord on tonight. Oh, what a powerful word on tonight. I like that. Don't need no resume to work for the Lord. And see, I like what you're saying, because it breaks it all down. You broke this thing down to us on tonight. In other words, we don't need to be spectators. God is looking for faithful doers of his word. So right now, we are so excited for this word that we have just received on tonight. And I know that it was a blessing, and it was a help to all of us that have received this word on tonight. Ooh, this is a powerful word right here tonight. You don't need no resume to work for the Lord. Ooh, that was good, Deacon Marvin Cox. Thank you so much for allowing the Lord to use you to break down this word for us on tonight, that we could all receive it and be better doers of his word and not just hearers only. So right now, I am opening up the phone lines as we speak. So as I'm doing this, we get ready to open up all the phone lines for all those that have dialed in on tonight. If you want to, if you have a question for Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight pertaining to tonight's message, or if you want to give him words of encouragement, you have an opportunity to do so now. All the phone lines are open.
Yes, this is Essie Tutt in Greensboro, North Carolina. I really enjoyed the word. I thank God that I learned. If I didn't know it, I know it now, that I don't need no resume. Thank God.
Yeah, thanks, sir. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. You heard this word and you received this word tonight. Thank you, Jesus. So God's word is never going to go out void. It's going to always accomplish what he set out for it to do. So we thank you that you have let us know that you have received this word on tonight. And we thank God for you. Anyone else?
Yes, this is Mother Phillip.
Mother Phillip.
I'm here in Detroit. And Minister Cox, he just brought the word out so plain. And I just thank God for the word tonight. Thank God for you. And you keep
thank
on.
You,
with, and many are called, but few are chosen. Mm. But
yeah,
what God
right.
wants us to come on in there and work out our own soul salvation. So I thank you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank
sister.
You so much, Mother Phillips. Thank you so much for those words of encouragement for Deacon Marvin Cox. Anyone else?
Mother Cox, this is Sister Walker. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing just fine. What about yourself?
Oh, doing great. Oh, you hit it tonight. Especially when you talk about the seat, you sitting in my seat, oh, that happens all the time. You know that happens all the time. Sitting in my seat, you got to move. And I really like seniority has no privilege, because that happens so often in our churches that when the new people come in, the ones that have been there the longest, they be giving them a hard time.
That's right.
Yes.
It's supposed that they're seat.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, I remember back in the day we used to have, when I grew up, we used to have the Willing Workers Club at the church, the Willing Workers Group. And all the folks that joined that, they would be busy bees around the church, just doing whatever they could to make it wonderful and help the pastor and help everyone out. We don't have those groups anymore.
That's right. Well, you know, you don't need no resume.
Don't. Thank you for the word tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Aunt Essie, for that words of encouragement. I'm so grateful to know that you have really received something on tonight that will strengthen your faith in the Lord, that you're going to be more of a doer of God's word and not just a hearer only. We thank God that his word has not gone out void. Thank you, Aunt Essie, for letting us know how you have received this word on tonight. And for Sister Gwen, Mother Phillips, thank you for those words of encouragement to Deacon Marvin Cox. Anyone else on tonight?
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Well, for those of you that dialed in late and you did not get all the word, remember, you can always go to my website. And please, if you did not get all of this message on tonight, as some of you all did not, I implore you, please go to tonight's website. 10 minutes after we go off the air, you will be able to pull it up again and listen to the whole message all over again. Share this worldwide platform with others. Give them my website so that not only you can be blessed by it, that others in your families, others in the ministry that you are affiliated with your church ministry, and your family members and co-workers and neighbors, share this worldwide platform ministry website with them so they can go in and they can be blessed by this word as well. So we thank God for each one of you that have given words of encouragement to Deacon Marvin Cox, and we thank God that each one of you have been blessed by this word. Not only you all was blessed, I was truly blessed and inspired by this word as well, Deacon Marvin Cox, as always. So we're going to get ready to close out in prayer. I'm asking all listeners, and we will continue to lift up all those families that have experienced the different mass shootings on today and yesterday in the different cities. And I understand that we had some violence that happened downtown in Detroit, Michigan on last night. And so the enemy is not playing. He is still on his job. He said he was going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. So his job is to kill, steal, and destroy. But that's why it's important that we as the believers come together on one accord and realizing that God is God, and he still have all power in his hands, and he's still in control. So we're going to pray on tonight and asking God to continue to bless the families that have lost loved ones in these violent situations. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we, your children, we come together on one accord on tonight once again, touching and agreeing and realizing that you are God alone and God all by yourself. We know that you have and hold all power in heaven and in earth in your hands. Now, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you extend toward each one of us. We don't deserve it, but we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. We thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that we are saved through him and we can come through him and be forgiven of all of our sins and transgressions. Now, Lord, we continue to lift up all those that have been affected and by the mass shootings and killings on today, and then also all on yesterday in different states where people have been shot down and murdered and killed for no reason. But we ask that you comfort and strengthen each family, Heavenly Father. We continue to lift up the people of Ukraine and the president of Ukraine. We continue to lift up our sisters and brothers over in Jerusalem and Israel. You said we are to pray for them, to pray for the peace and prosperity of Jerusalem and Israel. So we're doing that tonight as on one accord, know that you are truly a promise keeper. You're still watching over your word to perform it in the lives of your people that will give you glory, honor, and praise. Now, Lord, we pray that you will move by your spirit on tomorrow, and every door that's going to be open in Jesus' name, even through the social media platforms, wherever your word is going forth, being taught and preached on tomorrow. And have your way, Lord, to the point that souls will be saved, backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ, those that are in the body of Christ, will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow, that you, most of all, will be glorified, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, we continue to ask that you will move by your spirit, bless those that faithfully tuned into this worldwide ministry platform, even those that have dialed in for the first time on tonight, those that are listening in through social media platforms for the first time on tonight, bless them all. Continue to give them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise. is our prayer. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, know this and remember that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Remember, again, that the fervent prayers of the righteous availeth much. Good night.
Come on, KD.
An old song from North Carolina, Currituck, North Carolina. Maybe some of y'all know this, but I'm gonna sing this song here. My, my, my. Pray for me. Yes, sir. If you and you